Wow, wow, wow. Hallelujah. Whew. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Come on. She got it. Yes, Lord. Actually, Psalm 115:13 starts off this way. It says, yes, he will bless his lovers who bow before him, no matter who they are. God himself will fill you with more. Blessings upon blessings will be heaped upon you and upon your children from the maker of heaven and earth, the very God who made you. The heavens belong to our God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge. Do you hear that? He has given us the earth and put us in charge. Dead people cannot praise the Lord, but we can. Those who sink to the silence of the grave can no longer give glory to God, but we can. So let's praise the Lord. Let's begin now and let it go on until eternity is done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. I love that this morning. Praise you, Jesus. So good to see everybody this morning. I'm going to just put on one light, okay, because it's a little dark in here. We got a little bit of family business to take care of before we do our tithes and offerings. Yeah, it was quiet all week till this morning. So we got to lift up these people this morning in prayer. Okay, Eve's sister Agnes was on her way to the hospital, I guess the ER. She had a kidney stone, and I guess she went into such pain that she got into a very bad car accident. So she fractured her ankle, her knee, and a shoulder blade, and punctured her lung. So we got to lift, let's lift her up right now. I'll go over each one. I'll do one at a time, okay? So let's lift up Agnes and believe right now for her healing. Father, we lift up Agnes to you, Lord, and we thank you. We cover her in the blood of Jesus from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We come against this trauma that she experienced on the way to the hospital. And Lord, we thank you for healing her body right now. Every broken bone, everything that has broken, Lord, that you would repair it, that if she's in surgery, Lord, that you're guiding the hands of the surgeon as they repair her body. And Lord, we know that you're with her. And Lord, we declare her healed, whole, and restored. And Lord, we pray for the other car that got involved. We don't know too much about that. But if they need healing too, Lord, we just pray for healing to come into them also in the name of Jesus. Then I got another text this morning from Jim Miltenberger. He's not here today. He got a text about his ex-wife. She lives in Florida. She's in intensive care with a heart attack. So we want to lift her up right now. Her name is Linda. Okay, so Lord, we lift up Linda to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we pour the blood of Jesus right now all over her heart, all over everything that's going on in her body, Lord. We declare her healed, whole, and delivered also, Lord. And we speak life into her body right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that you would give Jim and the family peace. Even though it is his ex-wife, there's still feelings there. So Lord, we just thank you for that. And everyone will stay in faith, believing for her recovery in Jesus' name. And then we have Uncle Jim, that's Carla's uncle. He was released from the hospital. He's been started with a stroke, and then one thing led to another thing. And so, Lord, he's being released to go home with hospice. So we want to lift up Uncle Jim to you right now. And we just pour the blood of Jesus all over him, Lord, and give the family peace. And, Lord, we know he's a Christian. He is going to go home and be with you. But if there's a miracle there, Lord, we're believing for one, right? If it's not his time, Lord, we declare him healed, whole, and delivered. He can have a Lazarus moment in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for that. And we lift up George, our old friend George. He's coming back home. He's been in and out of the hospital, and he's being healed of kidney and liver, I guess disease you would call it. So, Lord, we just lift George up right now. We thank you for his healing, his wholeness, Lord. Repair his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. If there's any pain he's experiencing, Lord, we just thank you for releasing him now of that. We thank you for repairing and having peace in his family, Lord, and bringing unity and mercy to his family, Lord, as they gather together and just surround him with love and mercy in Jesus' name. Okay, Trish, she's not here today. She's going to be going for a hip surgery in August, but she experiences a lot of pain in her hip where it's unbearable. And she's been getting shots, but they're not working. So, Father, we lift up Trish to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we pour the blood all over her hip area. Lord, we declare her healed, whole, and delivered. I thank you for restoring her hip area, Lord. I thank you that you're relieving her of the pain that she experiences. And Lord, we just thank you right now that you're even with her right now, touching her. And by the stripes of Jesus, all these people are healed, whole, and delivered in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone else that needs healing today in their bodies, Lord, I thank you that they're going to experience healing because you're here today. And I got a vision of him as we were worshiping, and he was showing me his pierced hands and the healing that comes out of his hands. So he's going to heal somebody today. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Ooh, okay. Wow. Wow, is there anyone in here today? I'm going to go for it. Anyone in here today that needs healing in their body? How's your foot, Paul? Is it healed? Your ankle? You want more healing for that? Sure, come on up. Yeah, anyone needs healing in their body for anything, we're just going to call it in right now. So, Carla, Steve, you want to come up? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's this, right? I got the right one this time. Father, we thank you and praise you right now for this healing to flow. Wow. Right now in this ankle area. Lord, I thank you. All the pain and all the discomfort's got to go in Jesus' name. And by his stripes, Paul is healed. Jesus. Lord, I thank you that there's no restriction as he walks or stands. Swelling. Gotta go now. Repair. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Ooh, wow. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Nancy. How are you? Okay. You up here for healing? Okay. He's got an autoimmune disease, and I can't pronounce that. Are you in pain right now? Where's the pain? All over your body? Okay, I'm going to put my microphone down. Let's stretch your hands out. Okay. She says she feels better. We like better, but we want more. More than better, right? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we'll receive our tithes and offerings right now. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand. If you need to give through a credit or debit card, just go in the back and see Deja and Carla. The word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 10, it says, "This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take our gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks unto God." Amen. So our seed is continually growing, even if we don't see it, right? Prayers are seeds too. All our prayers are being worked on, even though we don't see it yet, right, Annette? Come on up, Annette. Can you get up? Everybody got an envelope that needs one? Thank you, Lord. Ready then. We're almost ready. As soon as Deja's done, we'll lift it up. Thank you, Lord, for all those healings. Lord, we thank you. You're a good God. You paid that price on the cross so we don't have to be sick. Took every sickness, every disease, every one. What a miracle that is. Thank you, Lord. Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. And for all of those that we don't know about that are sick today, Lord, we just pray healing on them. Also, our friends, our family, Lord, we cover them today in the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for recovery now in Jesus' name. No aches, no pains. No allergies, no headaches, no toothaches, no backaches, none of that. No diseases. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I also cover everyone today in Psalm 91. I thank you that the angels are surround about us, keeping us safe on the roads 24/7 and at home. We are accident-free. In Jesus' name. Actually, Donna fell, and when Carla was praying for a shoulder, I thought about her shoulder and her neck. She hurt. She's okay, but she might have woke up today with that. You know how it always happens the next day after you fall? So, Lord, we lift up Donna to you right now, Lord, and we cover her in the blood, and we thank you, Lord, that she's pain-free this morning from the fall that she took in her house. So, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you keep her safe, that the angels are there, surrounding about her, all over her property, inside and out, and all over ours, inside and out, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So we lift up this basket to you, Lord, and we thank you and praise you, for you're the God that supplies. And, Lord, we thank you for a tremendous amount of favor and open doors that you're doing for each and every one of our lives, Lord, that your hand of blessings are upon us. You take care of us, Lord. Everything that we have need of, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's going to come in the name of Jesus at the right time. So, Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for our prosperity to succeed. And Lord, as we meditate on you and stay on you and not off course, Lord, we know it's going to come in because you're the one who planted it in the first place. So, Father, we thank you that your plans and your purposes for our lives will come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Yes, clap. All right. I guess I could leave that off. For some reason, it feels a little darker up here today. Okay, schedule. Okay, Sunday morning, 9:45, we have intercessory prayer time. If you'd like to come out and join us in prayer, that would be awesome. As we said before, our Bible study will be canceled till the fall. And then every Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have our prayer time. And if you could come out and be with us to pray together, the more the merrier. So if you're available, come on out. That's more power. Okay, you're all excited. Okay, all our messages are recorded and posted on tfhcf.org. Children's Church could be released right now if there's children. Okay, she's the little girl. That's Sage, isn't it? Okay, Sage, it's so nice to meet you. Hi. Okay, she's got sunglasses on. She's cute. Okay, we have an upcoming event in July, July 17th. And it was Carla and a few of our ideas to do something. We did have a family night a while ago, and we liked it. So, but we have a little purpose this time in mind. So 7 o'clock Friday, July 17th, we're gonna have a church family craft night and fellowship. And the purpose of it is called Operation Nursing Home. We're gonna be putting together a craft and some goodie bags to take to the nursing home on another date. So please come out, bring a snack of your choice, and we'll be having some fun as we get together. It'll be a time to just hang out and, you know, talk and do something and for a purpose. So that's coming up in July. Okay, upcoming speakers. July 11th and 12th, we have our Dean Braxton Worship Seminar on Saturday. And then as it gets closer, we'll have more detail on that. And then July 12th, which is the following next day, Sunday, he'll be here to preach. And then August 23rd, Sunday, Dennis Rainier will be with us at 10:30. And October 11th, Sunday, Brad and Uli Klein, Open Storehouse, will be here with us at 10:30. Amen. You know, the Lord says, do not despise small beginnings. We need our children's church to come back. And a lot of families that used to come here, it kind of declined after COVID. I guess people got used to staying home and watching things on TV and staying away from people. And so we got to get that out of the mindsets of people, right? That's got to change. Hallelujah. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll get into the message today. It's a teaching message, so you know what that means. A lot of scriptures. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that this word that you have given me, Lord, is for your purpose, to put a seed inside of us so it'll grow, including myself. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you that your word is alive, it's full of power, and full of blessing. So, Lord, we just thank you for this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message is called The Teaching on Righteousness. Good subject, isn't it? It's okay. It's good. Okay, the Lord's been talking to me about righteousness. And we are already declared righteous because of Jesus. But his ultimate goal for us in this lifetime, through his restoring us as human beings, is to be righteous. Biblical righteousness goes beyond our moral correctness. It reflects our relationship with God and his alignment with his will that includes justice, integrity, and faithfulness and uprightness. It's our character that he's concerned with in these last days. How do we present ourselves to the outside world? How do we conduct ourselves behind closed doors, in the secret places where nobody sees, but only God sees? In Hebrews and in the Greek, the meaning of righteousness both mean to conduct yourself in God's nature, in character, and to be faithful to the covenant in Christ, showing that righteousness is both a gift from God and a calling for us to live rightly in our daily lives. In Psalms 11:7, it says, "For the Lord is righteous, he loves justice, the upright will see his face." God's righteousness is demonstrated in his laws, judgments, and actions, which is in his nature. It involves for us to be obedient to God, caring for others, and living in a way that honors God's character because we are his representatives here on this earth. When the world sees us, they see Jesus. Of course, I hope they do anyway, and that's including me. Of course, as human beings, we cannot achieve perfect righteousness on our own because God's standard is absolute perfection. But through Jesus Christ, who bore our sins, we can, as believers, are made righteous before God. Now let's look up 2 Corinthians, starting in chapter 5, 19 through 21. It says here, in other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. Did you hear that? He has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and reconcile to him. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. That's very powerful. So divine righteousness is received by faith, not by works, and transforms our lives. Now let's turn to Romans 3:21, 20 through 24. Romans 3:21 through 24. It says, "But now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus, the anointed one. This is the righteousness that the scriptures prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift. For there is really no difference between us." Glory. "For we all have sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness, his gift of love and favor, now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and the power of sin." So it's declaring his righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all those who believe. When we are living righteously, we will display it in our actions, in our moral choices, including honesty, justice, generosity, avoiding any kind of sin, walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Now let's turn to Ephesians 4:2-4. It says, with tender, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially towards those who may try your patience. Ha ha ha. That's a good one, huh? Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. Now, Paul encourages us to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, walking in the Holy Spirit, which brings us now to Galatians 5:22-23, which I'm not going to turn there, but I'll read it, some of the fruit of the Spirit. And these are attributes of a godly life that the Holy Spirit cultivates in us as believers in Christ. We know this. We know these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness, and lastly, self-control. Now, the nine qualities, I'm just going to go over some of them in more detail. It says love, that's agape love. That's selfless and sacrificial love that mirrors God's love for humanity, forming one foundation of all other virtues. Joy, deep, enduring gladness rooted in salvation in the presence of the Holy Spirit, independent of circumstances. Do we still have joy even when we're going through crap? Peace, inner tranquility, and harmonious relationships reflecting God's peace that surpasses understanding. Patience or forbearance, the ability to endure difficulties and the shortcomings of others without anger, reflecting God's patience. Kindness, a benevolent and compassionate disposition towards others, revealing Christ's character. Goodness, moral integrity, and the desire to do what's right, expressed through virtuous actions. Faithfulness, reliability, loyalty, and trustworthiness, reflecting God's steadfastness. Gentleness, humility, and consideration in dealing with others, avoiding harshness or aggression. And lastly, self-control, mastery over one's desires and impulses, enabling disciplined and righteous living. Now, Paul uses fruit as a metaphor. Fruit symbolizes visible results of spiritual growth. Much like when the fruit grows natural on a healthy tree, these qualities grow natural when we remain connected to Christ like branches to the vine, staying connected to Jesus at all times, like it says in John chapter 15. A tree is nourished by water and produces fruit. Our lives are nourished by the Holy Spirit, which produces virtues, bringing healing, wholeness, and its witnesses to the world. It witnesses. We should be witnessing to the world. This is our spiritual transformation, or our spiritual restoration in our being. It's evidence that God is at work. Now let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. This one you should pretty much know, but the Passion, it says a little different. I can get there. Okay. Jesus is talking here. He says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So Jesus encourages us to chase after God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all the righteous ones will receive the promises of abundance of blessings, protections, God's favor, and all our needs will be met. Right? So we please God when we're walking in righteousness. That's basically what it's saying there. So let's now turn to 1 John 3:7-10. Says, delightfully loved children, don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. But the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. John says that God expects us to live righteously. Now let's turn to James. James 1:19-27. You guys are so quiet. I feel like the mice. I can't even hear them around. Okay, it says, my dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. And be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. I love that. James is highlighting here that God's righteousness will never attach itself to human anger. James encourages us to continue to implant the word of life into our hearts, for God's word is truth. And the word in us will continue always to bear fruit and bring blessings into our lives. If we do not believe this, we will quickly lose interest and move on to something else. We'll start moving away from God little by little. James says to be doers of the word and not just be hearers of it, for then we will experience God's blessings in all that we do. True righteousness in Christ challenges us in today's society. What the world accepts in this society is normal. To God's standards, they are not. Now let's turn, and I know you know all this, but we're going to repeat it anyway, and look at it in 2 Timothy 3:1-9, because we know what's going on in this world, even though it told us all about it. And how we hate it. Okay, it's 3, chapter 3:1-9. It says, but you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander, slaves to their desires. They will be ferocious haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from these people, for they are ones who worm their way into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and steeped in sin. They are always learning, but never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. History has given us an example of this with the Egyptian sorcerers Jannes and Jambres, who stood against Moses in their arrogance. So it will be in the last days with those who reject the faith, with their corrupt minds and arrogant hearts standing against the truth of God. But they will not advance, for everyone will see their madness just as they did with Jannes and Jambres. And that is the spirit of witchcraft. Now let's take a look at some of the people in the Bible that God says were righteous before him. Now these people weren't perfect, but he called them righteous. First one is Noah. He was considered righteous in a corrupt generation. He chose to align his life with God's divine principles. The world at that time was so corrupt, they kept dismissing God's warnings. But Noah stayed obedient to God's command and trusting in God's promises, even when it defied human understanding. He stayed steadfast in belief in God's word. We today in this corrupt world must stand firm in our convictions, even when the culture shifts against us. We need to continue to stand boldly and morally without wavering. Abraham, his testament is righteousness through faith. His relationship with God was rooted in trust. The lesson with Abraham is prompting us to understand that God's righteousness is not relying on our own efforts. We have to surrender to his divine assurance and his will and not put matters in our own hands, helping God out, so to speak, and causing a future mess. We must not ever waver or doubt God's promise, even when it seems impossible. And if it takes longer than our patience can stand, and not waiting on God's timing. Abraham and Sarah grew impatient with the promise of a son in old age. They took matters in their own hands and produced an Ishmael. He was not the promise. Isaac was. Job. Here's Job again. He's been coming up a lot lately. Integrity through suffering and hardship. God's restoration of Job serves as a powerful testament that true righteousness is not merely about avoiding evil, but maintaining a relationship with God even when faced with despair and trials. Even under pressures of doubt and despair, you find the strength and integrity to stay steadfast, and you will always come out victorious in the end. Just like Job, he was restored double, including his youth. Okay, let's look at Joseph. Choosing purity over pleasure. He faced temptation with Potiphar's wife who pursued him. Instead of falling into sin, he thought about the long-term implications of his actions on his relationship with God. Joseph's declaration was, "How then could I do such a wicked thing against sinning against God?" It's a reminder of the choices that we make that reflects our values and our faith. Joseph illustrated that righteousness is not merely about avoiding wrongdoing, but actively choosing what is right, even when it comes to a personal cost. The imprisonment that followed his rejection of temptation was a testament to the trials that often comes when standing firm in one's belief. And that's certainly true. Now let's look at Daniel. His unwavering devotion amidst a pagan culture serves a powerful testimony to the impact of personal integrity and faith. Daniel did not conform to the world system at that time. He set up boundaries that reflect one's values. Daniel's courage to pray openly, despite the threat of punishment, shows a level of faith that challenges us today. His willingness to face the lion's den rather than compromise his relationship with God, emphasizing that true righteousness often comes with risks. Daniel witnessed to the world the power of faith. And lastly, our example is Jesus, the ultimate example of righteousness. He embodied a life that was sinless and had unwavering obedience to God's will. He demonstrated through his teachings and actions how love can be expressed through service, compassion for people, and sacrifice, challenging us to consider how our lives should reflect his character and to pursue life that mirrors his nature. In this dark world, we are always being challenged every day, sometimes under pressure to make choices. In this life, we're to be and doing what God wants us to do, making right choices, even if it hurts and goes against what people say or think. Biblical righteousness is holistic. This holistic kingdom way means it's based on everything is interconnected. Everyone will be affected, bringing wholeness to everyone and everything. Everything is touched by God's righteousness. Righteousness encompasses faith, moral integrity, justice, and obedience to God. It is both a gift from God and a conscious effort in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions to be righteous. And we touch people by this. In conclusion, in Matthew 5, 6, in the Bible Hub, it says, "How blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because it is they who will be satisfied." In Matthew 5, 6, in the Passion, it says, "How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with fruitfulness." Meaning those who hunger, thirst, or crave righteousness are promised satisfaction, and living righteously aligns us believers with God's will. This brings spiritual growth and it impacts the world in a positive way. We are not to hide our right standing with God. Let's make every effort in our life, the world to see that the right, see us and see the righteousness of God in us. Amen. And that concludes the teaching of the righteousness of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we know that we live in this dark, wicked world and how it is and how tough it is to always display our character in everything that we do and come against, because we deal with evil people every day, whether it's on the phone, in person, in the store. Sometimes we lose our cool, Lord, but we want to be righteous before the world, Lord, so they could see Jesus. We may be the only word of God that they ever see. So, Lord, we thank you that we need to be more aware, including myself, of how we act wherever we are, so people could see Jesus and they could see the light in us, and that you said we are the salt of the earth, so they would be drawn to us so we can minister to them the love of God and to know how loved they are by God, and everyone is valued, whether saved or unsaved. So, Lord, we right now, we just ask, Lord, that every opportunity that we get every day, that you would open up a door of favor so we could present you to someone. And Lord, as we do this, and if every Christian would do this, the world would change eventually. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for releasing your power through us into the world and in our neighborhoods and in our wherever we go, in the shopping centers, in the gym, in the school, on our jobs, Lord, in our businesses, wherever we are, Lord, even walking down the street, in our ministries. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for filling us up today with your righteousness. You declared us righteous, Lord. So, Lord, we're going to walk in it. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for today. We thank you for the healings again, Lord, and how you heal us, Lord, and that you're always there for us, whatever the need is. And Lord, I thank you that every need will be met. I thank you for a supernatural Open doors this week for everyone, Lord, as we go through our everyday life, Lord, because we're walking in this journey that you put and destined for us to walk into. And Lord, that we would be led by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you. We'll be ready in and out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! Glory. If you need prayer for anything, we're here for you. So even if you didn't come up for healing before, you could still come up and whatever you need prayer for, prayer of agreement or whatever. Amen? Amen. Go with God. Have a great week. Friend of yours. Okay, what's your name?
Hi, Christina.
Christina, nice to meet you. You need prayer for anything? Well, you could come up and get prayer.
Let your name stand. Call the